Hi, family. I'm an addict. My name is Carol. Wow. I need to take a moment and say I thank God for each and every one of you. I learned that in these rooms. When I got here, there was a guy here, Thomas W. from my area, that would say that all the time at the meeting. And I said, he don't even know me. Today I understand what that means. When they gave me this topic, when they asked me to share, I was, I'm the woman that don't tell my age. Duh! What do you mean, aging in recovery? And I went outside. I'm a big fan of prayer and meditation and the 11th step to kind of center myself before this meeting. And I was standing over in the corner looking at all of us and how beautiful we look. And these two sisters that I embraced to say hello and introduce myself, they said, hi, Miss Carol. If you stay here and you keep coming back, that's aging in recovery. People now say, hi, Miss Carol. When I first got here, they said, bitch, sit down. When we want to know how to use, we'll call on you. Take the cotton out your ears and put it in your mouth. Whoa. I had to come here for 10 years to realize, for the fog to lift long enough for me to realize when I was first introduced. It was 1983. I did not begin to hear what you guys were saying until 1989. Between 83 and 89, I came in and out of these rooms because the court sent me. My parents put me out their house. I lost a job, and I had this little sheet of paper. 89 is a dope thing where I come from, okay? Somebody told me they needed to identify, because when we stand up here, you don't look like somebody that shot dope. Well, I'm here to tell you, when I got here, I was swollen up, not from fat, because I weighed 90 pounds, and it was 90 degrees outside, and I wore shirts all the way down my arms, and my hands was big as baseball mitts. I would tell people, because I had a job. Y'all helped me get a job, of course. Oh, I was hanging pictures last night. That was my excuse. But everybody knew. I was a walking pin cushion. My hair was cut short, not because it was fashionable, because all money was cop money, and we wasn't going to get no hair and nails done. That's the real deal. I have to remember, and when you come down here, the journey plays out for you. I used to say I was an undercover hoe. I got it clarified. I was a bus stop hoe, okay? And for anybody don't know what a bus stop hoe was, is to get started, I left my nice little neighborhood and went to the nearest bus stop and had a seat and waited. That meant if the nice little neighbor saw me, hi, I'm catching the bus. And I took the journey from the bus stop to where you could cop. I never copped in my neighborhood. When I was lucky enough to get a ride back home, I made them drop me 5 blocks from my house, and my name was not Carol, okay? So what I'm saying is I was perpetrating an undercover from the jump. How I got into this, I grew up in an area during a time when the thing for me was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it was fun. Mind you, the other half, I come from a nice home, you know, they was working, two parents, I ain't got all them kind of excuses. They took the opportunity and sacrificed to make sure I got into better schools and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't wait to graduate so that I could begin to see and do what you people were doing. It was textbook. The drugs went down the spectrum, up the spectrum, up the ladder, you know, from party drugs, social, the weed, till I found a drug of my choice and I became the pincushion. And then I started finding bus stops and methadone centers and oil joints and alleyways until at the end of the road, I was climbing out of an abandoned building with blood running down my arms on a silk shirt, going back to a job that I had left at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to the bathroom, and it was 4 o'clock. Oh, I left a purse in the drawer. Wasn't no money in it, of course, because they knew I was coming back. That boss looked at me and said, you know what, we've had enough. I don't even want to hear it. I'll talk to you on Friday. So, back again, I went to treatment. I have never been able to stop using drugs unless they physically removed me. I could not get, if you don't pick up, you don't use. You can't get high. Huh? How do you not pick up? Duh. So, I came in and out of here and in and out of here until finally I was beat into submission. I didn't surrender. I got knocked the frick out, and I couldn't get up no more, and I wanted to die. I attempted it and punked out one more time and proceeded to go to the bus stop. And somebody picked me up and took me. They was getting ready to go cough, and I said, I'm in. And I told them what I had done, and they dropped me at the nearest fire station. And the miracle of this program, 90 days later, I was sitting in a meeting after coming out of treatment. And this man tapped me on my shoulder and said, don't I know you? I'm undercover now. And I looked him up and down, and I said, excuse me? You don't know me? And he said, yeah, I do. I dropped you at a fire station a couple of months ago. That was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself long before I got here. Because I was so beat down and so worn, I began to buy into what I saw and was tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got into this program. On that same job, one more time, I got my little slip of paper, and I'm sneaking out to catch a noon meeting on lunchtime. Because I won what y'all got. Y'all look beautiful. And I come back, and I'm in the break room, and a woman walks up to me, and she says, don't I know you? Hello? No, you don't know me. Sure I do. I just seen you at lunchtime in the meeting down the street. I want to take this moment to thank God for that woman. She's in service today at this convention. Lisa R., wherever you are, I love you. She put me in her hip pocket, and I began to go to meetings with her, and I made my first Ocean City convention in 1990. I'm talking about the process taking over. I got in the back seat. I finally found my level of identification. She told a story about a kid from a poor black neighborhood who was the first college graduate. And she took her degree to a crack house, and I took mine to a war joint. I finally found somebody who felt my guilt, pain, and shame, and humiliation. Please keep coming back. Eventually, you will hear your story. At that point in time, I could identify the feeling, because I couldn't identify it. I just didn't fit in. I don't know why. When I get as old and as broke down as you people, I'll surrender. Okay. I got into this thing, and I love the fellowship, and I'm having fun, and I'm going to conventions every other weekend, and, I found a higher power in one of the dances. He was 6 feet tall. He had on biker shorts. Warrior blue biker shorts and a tank top. And I was like, oh. And I learned that you could have sex without the use of drugs. What? Where they do that? And it's working. A couple of years in that relationship, a year in that relationship, he decided he had had enough of me, and it was time for him to leave. Now, mind you, I'm fellowshipping and I'm partying, and I think I'm in the middle of this thing, and I got this network, and he left. And I hadn't changed. I hadn't worked no step except the first one. So I did what I do. I fucked up his shit. I got me some sad songs on the radio. And I used. That same woman came to my home and said, "You all swollen up again. Let me take you to the doctor." Leave me alone. I get paid in 24 hours. Come back tomorrow. And she came back tomorrow. I had finally been beat down. And they told me I had depression and you know what they tell you when you go to those places. But by now, I knew where to go. Well, I could do what y'all did. And she had introduced me to some people. And I sat in those rooms for 2 years and didn't have nothing to say but leave me alone. I'm miserable. I've already celebrated an anniversary or two in here, and evidently I did something wrong. Second step. Some of us go by this by minimum of concern only to find that it doesn't work. Money, property, and prestige does not equal recovery. I had a job. I had a home. What was I missing? Oh, I need a higher power. Maybe I need women more than just going to meetings. That's a sponsor. Oh, and I found this woman. Because I had tried them out in name, but, you know, y'all didn't want nothing but my man or you know, my dope. So I ain't had no need for y'all. And this lady began to sponsor me, and I began to develop trust. And I began to love her. As I began to love her, I started learning how to love myself and began to expose myself a little bit more. During that journey, my brother's kids were put in the system, foster care. And HP, when they called my mom's house, I was doing a drive-by and they were out of town. And I picked up the phone and they said, "We got these kids. Will somebody come and get them?" Well, they ain't coming back for another week or so. Yeah, here's my name and my information. And now I got 2 years again. And the baby niece I've been carrying around because we got a family illness, my brother and sister and all of us, that's what we did, you know. But I was going to school the whole time. And I would dumb it down and talk the way I needed to talk for y'all to include me you know. And those kids came to stay with me temporarily to give my brother a chance to get himself together. And he couldn't. And they were going to put the kids up for adoption. I had no intentions of adopting these kids. I was young, dumb, and single. And I liked it. And I was having fun for the first time clean. But I'll take the babies for a little while, just for the day. I can do them just for the day. One was 2 and the other was 8. The 2-year-old had been carrying the meetings with me since she was 9 months. People knew her. She'd spend the weekends with me. Those kids are now 27 and 30. And they have been with me ever since. As a direct result of how I lived my life, I was unable to bear children of my own. I'm talking about the miracle of recovery. I got a chance to experience motherhood. And for the life of me, my brother is still there, and we're connected, and we all know each other. That baby will not leave my side. I'm it. That's it. And all I can say is thank you, God, for the opportunity. What I started learning about is unconditional love. I learned when they spit up on the toilet how you just get up in the middle of the night and start cleaning it up, somebody else's shit, instead of people cleaning up my shit all the time. I learned how to say, no, I can't come to the Ocean City because my baby's birthday usually comes often during this convention. And she's having a party. And that's where she went. Do I have to go to the meeting people again? I'm tired of going to meetings. Okay, so I'm staying home. And I'm listening to you people, and I'm seeing y'all get better. And y'all told me if I want what y'all got, I got to do what y'all do. So I began to reach out and start asking people, how you do that? You know, I was a good student. I always wanted to go back to school. Oh, my time is up. Gosh, and I'm just beginning. Well, that's okay. And I went back to school. And I got another degree. And I became a social worker. I was living it at home. I want to take this opportunity to talk about what's going on with the aging process. My clean date is August the 2nd, 1991. As you get older, things slow down. For anybody who don't get it, I got 26 years and 8 months. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in August of this past year. I was getting ready to take another vacation and went in for my routine stuff, you know, it's time, let me go and get this done. My flight was booked, check, and they said, oh, you need to cancel that flight. I went into surgery at the end of the month. You want to know about aging and illness and recovery? Go to sleep with your identity intact and wake up with none. Now, mind you, I told y'all I live with the kids. I ain't been good with relationships. I had started dating a man, and he walked with me through that experience. And when I woke up in the hospital room, in the dark, feeling for what wasn't there, he said, you okay? And I looked over, and he was there. I ain't lived with a man in 20 years since I got my kids. Since the first couple of years with my kids, after that man left, it was just dating. He stayed with me. I couldn't lift my arms. He lifted me. I didn't want nobody to see me like that. 'Cause my identity had been caught up in bus stop ho. Hey! Dress it up. And I said, you going home? And he said, yeah, I'll be right back. And every time he went home, he came back with something else. And every time I went to the doctor's, he was there. And I did the work, thanks to the fellowship. There were some women that had done that. Thank you, Jane. And they shared, I did that, and this is how you do it. And I kept all my doctor's appointments. And they gave me some more. Ah! And the man's still there. That's the hope. When I was at my weakest, you know, and today I don't have to break up stuff, and I ain't taking it past what it is for today, but just for today, Myron, I want to tell you I love you and I thank you for being there. This journey is awesome. She gave me the 5-minute sign and I was halfway through how I got here. I cannot tell you the blessings I have gotten. This woman told me that if I worked the steps, my depression would be handled. Well, you know what? She was right. I ain't took medication since that first year for depression. When something is wrong, I come talk to y'all, and y'all tell me what step. And y'all tell me to go to my knees. And Doreen P., rock with it. And I have learned how to rock with it. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring in. Y'all told me I ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I just got to worry about today. Thanks for letting me share. I want to make room for my predecessor who was there. I love you too.